Doug Wilson, would you lead us in prayer, just thanking God for the money that's come in, and that which is coming?
Father, we're so grateful to you for all your provisions, and God, how you take care. Lord, tonight we ask you to move upon hearts, Lord, that we may give to this worthy cause, God, tonight, and bless these young folks, and Lord, that you bless the giver tonight, and sow the seed sown back under the sower. And God will give you the praise and the thanks, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
two thoughts on my mind while this song was happening and listening to this. Yes, sir. One was, I believe it is this song that was written by a lady who was a Sunday school teacher, and her boys were going off to war. And she wrote this piece of music to give, to teach them, so they would have something always ringing in their heart and their mind when they're out there on the battlefield. Wow. And the other thing I was thinking was, where I was at these guys' age was in pure stupidity. Making choices that were obnoxious and obscene. You guys, praise God, I've got some kids up here, but I got a bunch of kids up here. I feel just a deep affinity. I really, really do. And I appreciate that you guys are the team that you are, not just for music. This is just part of it. This is kind of the cream of it. But I truly am proud of our young people. I believe God is answering our prayer and making a mark in our valley. I really do. There's a lot of stupidity out there, a lot of bad choices being made. And one of my major prayers has been that our young people would show the difference and set the pace. Anyway, I've chosen four different men beside myself, and I'm going to have just a little short summary, tying it together at the end. Men who have somehow played a significant role in the lives of one or more of these young people. And I've asked them each to give just a 5-minute little bit of advice. What would you want to know as you were exiting high school? Nathan, I'm glad you came, man. Another graduating senior. No, excuse me. Graduated senior. Yesterday was the day for Nate. Amen. I'm glad you made it out, buddy. Yeah, I'll bet you are. There's a lot of meat behind that statement. I'll tell you what. Anyway, I've asked these men because they do play that role in the lives of our young people to come and share with us. I would like to start with Matt Connell. And Matt in our family is affectionately known as Uncle Matt, and truly so, a very intimate part of our family and also of a lot of the young people in our particular church here. So Matt, come on up, please.
Well, first of all, I'm thinking these so-called kids up here could put us out of business for music. As far as I'm concerned, man, get them up here. That was awesome. Thank you so much, you guys. So, okay, I'm going to try to keep it to 5 minutes here. So I'm going to be a little in... My mind got rolling when I started thinking about what to talk about here. So, the last time I spoke at a baccalaureate was my own. A fun little piece of trivia there is that Judah Robinson was basically being born at that time. Literally being born at the time of that baccalaureate. So, I still feel like I'm pretty wet behind the ears. But in Dan's question, what would you have wanted to know coming out of high school? I was a baby in the Lord. I had only been a Christian for a month, I think. And then only a couple years later, married to Jalna. I've thought a lot about what success is. And especially in secular school, you run into, this idea of success. And I think there's a little bit of danger in pushing ourselves into the world's mold of what success is. And that's what I'd like to talk about as briefly as I can. And so I'm going to turn to Romans chapter 12 to look at that. Partly, I've got some ulterior motives for that as well. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Romans 12. And I'd like to start actually at verse 2. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world." What does that mean, be conformed to this world? Well, what is this world about? This world is about self. This world is about pulling yourself up by the bootstraps and doing what's good for you. But what's God's way? Look at the next part of that verse. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, of course, you have to think, well, what is the renewing of your mind and what is the will of God? Dan pointed out to me, part of the reason I turned to this verse, to Romans chapter 12, is that Dan brings this out in pre-marriage counseling, and he encourages us to memorize Romans chapter 12 in pre-marriage counseling. Jalna and I tried pretty hard to do that. We didn't. We kind of got it. Much of that has slipped away in pure memorization, but I remember a lot of it. That renewing of your mind is a continual thing. Be being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a continual thing, a continual looking at the Word of God and getting meat from Him. And you know, it's easy to get preachy up here. And this is for me too. This is continually, I need this too. I need to do that. We're talking about the will of God. What is the will of God? I so appreciate Dave and Bev have brought out this wisdom that the will of God, and many times we think about decision making, and you guys are heading off in a way, you're kind of leaving the nest. Even if you stay in the nest, you're making your own decisions now. And you think about the will of God in terms of decision making, right? And that's right. That's good. We want to be in God's will in terms of decision making. But even more important than those life decisions of what you're doing is that question of, am I doing God's will when I'm behaving with my fellow human? Am I loving my neighbor? Am I speaking with words that are seasoned with grace, or am I acting selfishly, being in that mold of the world, looking for success that is ultimately maybe just financial success? You go to college so that you can get the job, so you can get the boat or whatever it is, you know, and then what? None of those things are inherently bad. You need to provide for yourself. God knows we need to work. That's great. But the will of God is for you to love one another. The will of God is for you to be kind to one another. Let's look at the rest of this chapter and think about that as we read through it. That for you in your life, in my opinion, to be successful is all about loving one another. It's about your human relationship with one another. Let's look at it. In fact, I want to back up to verse 1 too. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, that total dedication to Him. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. And I'll tell you what, if you do that in your life, in the workplace, in your family, you will be successful. But to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service, in his serving. And by the way, these are not exclusive. Every one of us can be participating in service, right? And once again, I'm talking to myself here as well. This is a continual, lifelong thing. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Once again, in your life, you're going to want to act for yourself. And I'll tell you, nothing has taught me that like marriage has. And that's part of, I think, why Dan brings this out in premarriage counseling, is it's the ultimate test of selfishness. And I so often have failed at that. And it's only by God in me that I can continue, and that He lifts us up in that way, and we need to be leaning on Him for that. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. once again, that contrast of the way of the world, that contrast of the mold of the world. This is totally opposite of what the world teaches you. And you know, a lot of us youth kind of are maybe a little bit protected and a little bit kind of in mama hen's, you know, wings. And you're going to run into in the world that it is a different philosophy. So often that test of selfishness, of acting in your own interest rather than in someone else's, that it's going to come down to. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. And this one, to me, again, stuck out to me. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And Paul here, I think, just acknowledging that there are times when an enemy is an enemy and you maybe can't get around that. But as much as it is possible for you, be at peace with all men. And in a nutshell, I would just say, be kind to one another. Be good to one another. And you're going to find that whatever the mechanics of whatever you want to do in this world are, as a through line, if you are loving your neighbor, you are ultimately going to be doing God's will. And in my book, ultimately successful. We kind of a little bit plucked this whole thing a little out of context. If you look at the beginning of the chapter, 12 verse 1, it says, therefore I urge you. And what is that? What's that therefore hinging on? I want to just back up just a little bit, and then I'm done. Let's look at 11, verse 33, just backing up a couple verses. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And to him, if you live your life so that God is getting the glory, you will be successful.
Amen.
Love you guys. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother. Brother Michael has a daughter who is graduating on Saturday. Her name is Annabelle. I asked Michael to come and share with us,
with the graduating class of students.
Yeah. Yeah, as you already mentioned, I'm Annabelle's dad. Where's Annabelle? Right there. In my row. She never sits in my row. I've been going to this church a long time. I know a few of the kids. We're here to celebrate you guys. You've been going to school as long as you can probably remember, maybe a couple memories before that. It's been a long, long time, your entire life, basically. And so today, as parents and friends and acquaintances, we get to congratulate you and say, well done, well done. As parents, we've always decided what you do, what kind of schooling you do. I know I got a lot of complaints with that growing up, homeschooling my kids. Why can't we be in public school? If you went to public school, maybe you wished you were homeschooled. I know there was some charter school and some other stuff going on, so I don't know all of the schooling of all of the kids, but I bet the parents decided that. And today we also celebrate the release of that responsibility for the parents. Yes. And we pass that on to you graduates. And some of you are going to make a lot of different choices. You're going to go maybe to college. You're going to go to, you're going to start a job maybe. Maybe you're going to start a business. Maybe you're going to stay locally. Maybe start a family. Move away. Stay in your parents' basements. We don't have basements, so get out. But whatever you choose, you're going to struggle. You're going to have some losses. You're going to win some. You're going to have sadness. You're going to have joy. And in thinking about what I wanted to talk to you guys about this morning and what kind of advice I'd want to give to the graduates, to my daughter, there's really only one thing that really matters to me. If you lived in my basement, which I don't have, or if you moved away, which I told you can't, Or if you never got a job, you didn't go to college, and as far as life is concerned, you're a failure. But if you loved God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, you would be a success. I would be extremely proud. So whether you move away, graduates, whether you stay, whether you start a family, whether you go to college, get a great job, if you make lots of money, those are all wonderful things. But no matter what you do, find friends that talk about Jesus. Stop hanging out with the ones that don't. Sing songs to the Lord. Be that friend that's so annoying and is always trying to get you to go to another Bible study. Sell out to Jesus, and in another 60 years, you will graduate head of your class again. That's it. Thank you so much. I'm so proud.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Evan, I've asked your pastor, since he's the only one I really know that you know, to come and share with us. Pastor Sonny, please.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 2016, my advice to you, wear sunscreen. If I could offer only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proven scientifically, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experiences. I will dispense with this vice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until it's faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you will look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really look. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebraic equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in life are those that have never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindside you at 4 p.m. in the afternoon on Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with those who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember the compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in this, let me know how you do it. Keep your old love letters. Throw away all your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do in their lives. Some of the most interesting 50-year-olds still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll be divorced at 40, or maybe you'll be dancing the funky chicken at your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance, so everybody else, and so is everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it in every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument God has ever given you. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it, or if it's in your own living room, dance. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're the best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but for the precious few, you should hold on to. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography, lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. I'll get that out. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you will fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you have a wealthy spouse, but you never know that when either one of those will run out. Don't mess with too much of your hair, or by the time you're 40, it'll look like 85. Be careful with those who give you advice, but be patient with those who supply it. But trust me on the sunscreen. Unlike the popular thought of sunscreen, the sunscreen I speak of is the S-O-N, sunscreen of the living God. The word of God tells us, put on the full armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. I'd like to read this out of the Message Bible. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so that you will be able to stand up against everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest. That you'll walk away and forget about it in a couple hours. This is for keeps. It's a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help that you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over and done, the shouting, you will be still standing. Righteousness, truth, peace, faith, the salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters and keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one will fall behind or drop out. It says put on the armor of God. Nowhere does it say to take it back off. Bless you guys.
Thank you, Sonny. I appreciate you very much. I've also asked my brother, dear friend, longtime friend, Dave Winchester, to share a little bit with us. Dave is, he slid into our home quite a few years ago, and each one of the kids that has been willing, he's willing to spend a little time with. And he's got some good thoughts and some penetrating questions. So any of you young people who want to be penetrated just a little bit and bumped a little bit, talk to him, Agatha's saying. So anyway, Dave, why don't you come up and share one more opportunity with these guys.
Thank you, Dan. It's been a pleasure for me to have an association with the Robinson family. So, Agatha, it's your turn, and then you other high school seniors. Those of you who have known me recognize that I was in radio broadcasting, Christian radio, for 35 years. And that does play a part in what I would like to say tonight to all of you grads. Beginning with this. Matt, you need some work. We were given 5 minutes. Okay. Sonny, you're close. Okay. And Michael, You were within the 5 minutes. Now, at this point, I have 4 minutes and 30 seconds left. Okay. It was several years ago that there was a church in Jackson County that was experiencing some trouble. Dan was called and asked if he had anybody could plug in there for a Sunday morning on short notice. And he came to me, and I thought, man, here it is Friday night, and I'm supposed to have a sermon ready by Sunday morning. What am I going to do? Well, at that time, I had just completed a series of 5 10-minute radio messages. I thought, okay. Trim off the opens and closes, and well, I can get that down into a reasonable sermon length. So I went on Sunday morning. What should have been no more than 40 minutes was an hour and a quarter. Young people, I developed somewhat of a reputation with that congregation at that time. They've never invited me back. What I'd like to say has to do with reputation. You're at a place where you've already begun to build a reputation, but it's not complete. Twice in the book of Proverbs, the 22nd chapter of the first verse, a good name, that's reputation, is rather to be chosen than great riches. Later, the same author in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. In just a few minutes, I'd just like to outline a few things for you. I'm not going to go into depth in any of them. Build a reputation. And then guard your reputation. How does one do that? Well, first of all, let me suggest that you should evaluate your own experience. What works? What's of help to other people? And what didn't work? And probably you will learn more from what did not work than what does work. Build your reputation, and eventually you will find that you will become a person who is trusted, that you are one who consistently makes good decisions, that you are one to be listened to. That's what a reputation does for you. How do you get there? Listen to advice. Look for advice. Ask people who've already been down the road a couple of miles, what would they do differently than they have already done? That's a good question. Not what have you done that works, what would you do differently? So I can avoid the mistake. Listen to those who've had more experience than you have had. Learn to distinguish between what is right and wrong. You know, there's a definition of insanity. Insanity is to continue the same pattern of behavior, expecting a different outcome. Life usually doesn't work that way. Rather, the same thing happens again. So young people, in the 5 minutes that I've had, build your reputation. Be aware of your reputation. Sometime down the line, you're going to be called into question. Your reputation can take you through the difficult time when others are speaking wrong of you, whether it's in employment, in school, in the home, wherever it might be. Build your reputation now, and when that difficult, unfair accusation comes, those who are listening will say, that's not the person I know. So build your reputation, guard your reputation. 5 minutes and 45 seconds.
Thank you, guys. And what has been on my heart really is a bringing together of these lines. It does. It's not what any of these said. Number one, it's them. I chose these people on purpose. And the scripture that I would like to point to is in Philippians chapter 3. I appreciate what each one has said, but behind that, I happen to know them. There's something behind what they've said. It's them. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. Can you imagine actually telling somebody else to do this? It is Paul writing to the Philippian church, brethren, join in following my example. Now, he knows a little bit more, and he knows what else is coming. Join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Dave, if you had it to do over again, is there anything you'd change? Sonny, if you had it to do over again, your life I'm talking about, anything you'd change? Nothing. Okay. Out of the pool, buddy. Michael and Matt, we're not walking on water yet, but there is something behind these guys, and there's others right here in this room and others that aren't here tonight that I could point to and say, you know, there's somebody that you can follow. Because having a pattern is something we all go after. We do, and we will. Who is going to be that pattern in front of us? Somebody is going to be. And whether it's, you know, made up from Hollywood, or whether it's a real life person, no matter what the occupation is, we pattern ourselves after someone. These two verses right here, join in following my example, two out of 1 Corinthians. Paul talks about in one place, follow me as I follow Christ. There's a criteria there. 18th verse says, for many walk, of whom I have often told you and tell you now even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And it goes on to describe their end. But he says, mark and follow those, not those. And I kind of notice in the scripture there's not another group of people. It's one or the other. It is somebody that's setting the pace well. They've made the changes that were necessary. They're pressing on toward Christ. Man, lock your sights on those and move toward them. Follow them as they are going after Christ. There is no better way. We don't have Christ standing in front of us except who is living Christ. Join in following those examples and not the others. That's been voiced a little bit. I can read that in some of what's been said tonight. Pattern your life after those who are patterning their life after Jesus. It's a scary thing for me to give away a scholarship. It's a delight. It's fun. This community has been so generous over the years. And this year is no exception to that. Generous church. And I'm sorry, only a portion of that church is here tonight. The scary part to me is I know some of what's out there because I've been there. Specifically at the college and university level, and not just the secular ones. Some of them that are called Christian and Bible school, where the same stuff's going on, and the same people are there. That's scary to me, Evan. And Agatha. You know, for each one that's moving forward, I say, hallelujah, God guard them. You know, there's fear at the same time. There's a little bit of a quivering heart. I'm not there to guard my girl anymore. Hopefully I've passed on to some things that'll guard her. And hopefully you have passed some things on that will guard her. That's the Christian community and Christian family. That's our part to play. So it's with delight. And it's going the will of God. Evan, we, the pastors of the Ministerial Fellowship, appreciated, yours is the first letter of application that we received. We appreciated what you said. We appreciated what your pastor said. We appreciated the letters from your school, from the people you asked. Evan, we got high hopes, and we were unanimously delighted to give you a scholarship. Agatha is the only other person that applied for this scholarship this year. So, we decided it's all right. No, the guys, it was a unanimous decision and a delightful decision there, as it truly was. It was not me railroading it through. You know, your life speaks to who you are in Christ. But I'll tell you what, guys, that can get derailed quick. It can get derailed quick. We want to bless you. We want to honor you. We want to pray for you. Now, Annabelle, I am so glad you went the full route. You finished the task. Good job. I am delighted as well. Now, Annabelle didn't make the application there, but she got some other help for further schooling. And I'm sure she'll get some more in the future. Praise God for that. Is Nate somewhere else in the room? Where'd Nate go? Is he back there? Nathan Wilson. Front and center, boy. Nate was in school and then took a little break, shall I put it. Nate, you're not facing me. And Nate, I was so delighted to see your grandpa and dad yesterday, which meant you were there at this graduation. Stayed the course, went back and did it. He's done. Excellent. We've got four. Did any of the graduates sneak in that I'm not seeing? Up to tonight, we have collected a total of $4,000 for these two applicants. Evan already knows it, because he had an award ceremony he participated in just a few weeks ago at the high school. Tonight bumps the total up a wee bit more. $2,213. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, church. Thank you, guys. Come up here, you two. You've probably got other help coming, and that's a wonderful thing. I know God's going to provide if you follow after God. But I want to pray for you two. Father, do take these two in your hand. As they pursue their schooling, Lord, guard them from the garbage. Please guard them from the enemy's junk. Guard them from all that is luring them off the beaten path of Jesus. Please. It's well trodden with good examples, and the other path is broader and more traveled. Father, help these two to, as Dave said, discern between right and wrong, good and evil, and to build, continue building the reputation that they've already started. Father, we put them in your hands. There's no better hands to be in. You are where they're going. And so we say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
God bless you. From the Church of the Valley. Yeah. Right? All right. Now, we do not give you money. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a little discrepancy there. I need to have the school, kind of a letter of acceptance, student ID number, and an address. I need to know who to send it to. You get that information to me, and we have a double signature on our check, and we will immediately pass the school or pass the check on to your school. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right.
Nice job.
Congratulations. And to you, too. Annabelle, come here. Nate, I do want you to come in here. I want to pray for you, man. You goofball.
I know.
Come here. Lord, I do thank you for these two also. Father, they are dear to my heart personally. Long term. Guard them. Guide them. Please protect them. Help them to discern between right and wrong, good and evil. Father, make their way clear in front of them. I pray that for all four of these young people. Provide, protect, send them on their way which you have designed for them. Be glorified in the life of Nate, of Annabelle, of Agatha, of Evan. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Don't move. I love this power thing. Brother Jim Gandy is with the Gideons, and he likes to be at the baccalaureate and share a little bit with the young people. You've got a gift to the give them. Yeah. Did you want to say anything to them also?
Yes. You know, as you go through life, you've got God's word to help you, to lead you, to guide you. Okay? I'm 81 years old, and he's still guiding me. Thank you, Jesus. All right? What's neat, and I'll give you each one of these. This is a Psalm in New Testament and Proverbs. And in the front, there's a list of subjects. And you can put them in your pocket. You can put them in your purse. You can have them in the glove compartment of your car. You can always have God's word with you. And that's important. I can't stress that enough. All right? God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Michael said it well. I'm proud of you. We're proud of you. Thank you for being here and participating with us tonight, and I believe worshiping God tonight in what he's doing. Thanks for those who brought little snacky items, and I think what we'll do, a couple of guys that live here, would you bring some tables in? We'll just transfer the food into this room. It's just a little place we can stand around and watch each other eat. Anyway, we'll have a good time. God bless you, Church of the Valley. What's that? Oh, yes, we are doing. We've got one more song that's so appropriate. One more song.
Oh,
So if we could have, yeah, several of you work on the tables. And we have one request. Lloyd Franklin received a ride here. He needs a ride home from someone just down the road, about a mile and a half. So if one of you can provide that for him, that would be great. God bless you all. Again, thank you, speakers. Advisors.